Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And when I say we, I don't mean me and Jordan, but I mean me and Amber. Welcome back, Amber.
Hi, everybody. Oh my gosh, it feels so good to be back. I have had a whirlwind of a back half of a year. My son came early, and then he's had a couple health issues that we've been dealing with, but he is A-okay, back to normal now, so I am ready to jump back into the Diz Insider. Jump back into podcasting, and I am super, super stoked to be back with you.
And it's so fitting because, so today we're going to be talking about Percy Jackson, and that's actually what she named her son. No, I'm kidding.
You know what? There, we did name him after you know, a work of pop culture. We did name him Wesley Robert, which is directly from The Princess Bride. And we did have a serious discussion about naming him Peter Parker Olkers as well. So,
really?
Yes. My husband's
That's
a big
sick.
Spider-Man fan. So, you know, don't count it out. Perseus Jackson Olkers, that's got a nice, you know, it's got a nice ring
And
to it.
save it. If you have another
Number
boy,
two.
yeah, if you have another boy, it could be Peter Parker and the third person. That'd be sick if all your kids are named after fictional characters.
Oh, I think we're going to have to keep that trend going.
Yeah. That's cool. My family, my mom was like really big on alliteration. So like all her kids were like the letter D's.
How many
Obviously,
did she have? How many siblings
she
do
had
you have?
three.
Oh no.
So yeah. And then my sisters took that as well. So my oldest sister, all her kids start with M. She has two kids. And my other sister, all her kids start with S.
No.
And I think me and my wife were the first ones to break away from that.
Well,
My
I'm
son.
glad you did.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I'm not with that. My son's name is Dempsey, because, you know.
It's a good name. It's a good name.
Yeah. He's
Pass
no,
it
he's
down.
he's literally a carbon copy of me. It's sickening.
That's so
But I
cute,
didn't know
though.
that at the time. But I think I thrust that upon him, actually, by naming him me. And then my daughter's Andy. So,
oh, that's cute.
DNA.
I realized I didn't know your kids' names until now. Those are good
Yeah.
names. I like them.
Thanks.
But no, like
Yeah.
my parents did the alliteration thing too. My sister's name is Aubrey, and I was originally a twin, and they were gonna name my twin either Autumn or Austin. And I'm like, dudes, you got Aubrey and Amber confused too many times. Like, you cannot have kids that have the same first initial because you get their names. My husband already does it with the cat and Wesley, and that's like, it's a P and a W. It's Paul, and like, I don't even know how that happened. So it would be 10 times worse if they had the same initials. It just,
That's
it will never happen in this household.
hilarious.
I can't do it.
How's the cat taking to the baby?
Pretty good. He started out pretty indifferent, but then a couple days ago, like, I'll be sitting with Wes on the rocking chair, and then he'll come and he'll lay on my legs on the ottoman part, or he'll try and take up the rest of my lap. And then a couple days ago, he started grooming him, like licking the back of his head. And
Yeah.
I was like, yes, this is good.
They get so into it that my cat does that to my daughter all the time. Like, my daughter will just be laying in there, and then he'll just take a lick of her head, and then he'll get into it. And before you know it, he's like it's almost like a scratching post, but for her tongue.
But then I feel so bad because their tongues are so scratchy.
Yeah, and
and
I'm
I'm
like,
like, stop doing that. Their skin
he's
is
gonna
so
mess up my
sensitive.
daughter's head. He's gonna get to the
Yeah.
bone.
Oh, seriously, they're very scratchy.
It's so. Whatever, whatever. We're not here to talk about cats. We
This
can
is a
talk about
parenting
cats all
podcast
day.
now.
The cats podcast. No. Write that down. Note to self. That's a good idea. Percy Jackson. What we've been previewing this for like a year, literally. I don't think we expected it to come out at the end of the year when we started talking about it last year, early this year. But it's here. It's upon us. Me and Amber got a chance to check. We got the first four episodes.
Yes.
I've only seen the first two. You haven't dived into the last two yet, have you?
Not yet. I'm literally watching number three right after we finish recording.
And honestly, I didn't, like, after watching the first episode, I was going to binge all of them. But the first episode sat so well with me. I was like, I want to really digest this. And it's kind of a show where I'm kind of glad that they're releasing it weekly. Because it's a show that I don't think you could binge. Like, hate to say this, but like, I was thinking about this the other day, how binge watching kind of like brings a show into a conversation and then it's gone. And this
Exactly. And also, I feel like binge watching works better for, in my opinion, it works better for comedies and like the quick ones. But something like this too, where it's so action packed, And I feel like you need time to sit with it, and then especially think of the fan theories and all that kind of stuff. And with this one, because it's always already a book series, and because basically everybody who's going into this knows what's going to happen, it's better to let it sit in the general community, because then you can be like, oh, I'm looking forward to this, and I know what's going to happen in the next couple weeks, rather than just being like, oh, this happened at one time and I know it. So I think it was a much better idea to drop it weekly.
First episode, you read the books. I fell
Yes.
flat on that. I ultimately did not get a chance
But
to
the
check out
amount of times that
anything.
we told you this past year, and you're like, I'm gonna read the graphic
I,
novels. I'm gonna
dude,
read the graphic novel. I
I'm the
could
worst.
probably do, if I took a shot, I'd be gone for every time you said that.
I was gonna do the graphic novel, I swear. But it, you know, time, literally the last few months have just really flown by.
I do understand that.
But I got a hefty dose of it at Comic Con. And I think I spoke to Jordan about this. Like, I went to the panel. Rick Riordan was there. I spoke to the creative team before, before the press tour, the most recent press tour. And I picked, this is before, this is during the right actor strike too. So none of the actors, they only had like the production designer and everything. So I had like a really good taste of it and I was really excited for it, but I still didn't like, I still don't feel like I get the full appreciation. So let's dive into the first episode. Is it an adaptation of a chapter? Like, what percentage of the first book is it?
I would say it's like the first, I want, okay. I did read this earlier this year, but like I have mom brain now, so don't come at me if I get this wrong. I believe it's like the first six or seven chapters. Because it's, I mean, things do happen pretty quickly in the book, but I feel like they kind of went like phoom a little bit, and just kind of threw you right in a way that I wasn't expecting. I was expecting it to be a little slower, a little bit more of a buildup, but by the end of the first episode, it's like, nope, this is already happening. And you're like, oh my gosh. The waste no time, which I actually kind of like. But I believe I think I want to say it's like the first six or seven chapters. But I, yeah, if it was, a chapter, an episode, this thing would be like 40 episodes and it would be like 5 minutes an episode.
What major changes are there?
Well, as of right now, the one thing that I noticed and that my husband noticed when he watched them when they came out was Gabe Ugliano, who is Percy's stepfather. In the books, he is very abusive, like physically, emotionally. He's a very menacing character and like a real major outlet for Percy's anger. But in this version, he's a lot more subdued. And he just seems kind of more annoying or more pesky than abusive, which I understand. I read why Riordan and the team did not make him as menacing and as like heavy to the story, because they didn't want to trigger people. They didn't want people to be upset. Riordan himself said he didn't want this to be a horror show. He didn't want to hurt people, so they toned him down a little bit. Which I almost feel is a little bit of a disservice, because you need to know exactly how much of a problem this man is in Percy's life to understand why he has some of these anger issues that he'll develop later in the series that you kind of get a nugget of in these first two episodes. But that was the main like difference that we noticed, and it kind of flies and straight into him going like his mom getting taken and then going into camp. But I feel like if you're doing a TV series, you kind of have to keep going and keep pushing to the next thing. And while I do love the moments where you get to slow down and really dive into the characters, it is good, especially with this type of a show, where you need to keep moving to the next plot point.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's one thing I really did appreciate about the first episode. It flew, as you said, it flew by. I think it
But not in
flowed
a
really.
bad way. There are sometimes where it's like you finish watching it and you're like, I feel like that was only 5 minutes. Like,
Yes.
what? Where's the rest of it? But this one, it flies by, but you feel like you've digested a good amount. You're like, okay, a lot of stuff happened, and you can still appreciate all the different events that happened in the episode without feeling like they skipped through them too quickly.
Yeah, and that was one of my biggest problems, not problem, but like I was upset about it at Comic-Con. They showed us the first 7 minutes of the episode and like it felt like 60 seconds. It was that good. They showed us up until the part where the girl gets thrown in the fountain.
Which, yeah, all happened very, it happened
Very
really
quickly.
fast. And you're
Yeah.
like, okay, we are just getting thrown in here.
Then we'll talk about the capture the flag later, but I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. I think if I had one complaint about the first episode, it's the part where he gets in. Is he get expelled or he just get suspended from school?
I believe it's expelled. He normally gets expelled from his schools. It's a common occurrence. He's been to like
Okay.
six schools in 7 years, something like that. Yeah.
And the mom takes him away, and I'm like,
yes.
Because I was just like, that's kind of weird. But as you that I think is the missing subtext is the fact that it happens all the time. So that's
yeah.
why it's
It they yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't believe they touched on how much he's been kicked out of schools,
yeah.
but it happens all the time. Like when they were showing the flashback bits, and it's like you could see the little horse that like the Pegasus that was up on the top of the building. He keeps seeing all these different things, which is the mist kind of clearing for him. A lot of those times caused him to be, you know, kicked out of schools for doing this or doing that or saying things, or accidentally causing incidents that he didn't know he could do. And they kind of skip over that in the series just for the sake of being like, let's get you in here. So I do understand where that's kind of like it doesn't entirely make sense that, you know, he gets kicked out of school and then his mom's like, let's go on a vacation.
Yeah, that's why I was like, okay, he just got in trouble. You're rewarding him, kind of. So that was that as a parent, I was kind of disconnected in that way. I was like, what the hell's going on here? That's my only gripe with like the first episode, but everything else flows really well.
Sally Jackson, what the actress? I mean, her name is. Give me 2 seconds. I need to find her name. Where are you?
Her name is
Virginia Cole.
Yeah,
she was phenomenal.
Everybody really liked her.
Absolutely phenomenal. Just and that scene where she's just sitting in the rain and letting the rain pour over her while she's thinking about her. I'm like, oh my gosh, this woman. Like she's absolutely perfect, and just she's so loving and mothering, and you can see how she's trying to be strong for her son, but she still has that vulnerability. 10 freaking give her like the best guest star Emmy right now. She's so good.
Yeah, that was all right. You kind of touched upon my next question. She really dead? She dead?
You'll have to. Okay. They talk about it a little bit at the end of the second episode. Do you remember that?
I can't say I do. Will she become a god?
Oh.
Oh.
Well, now that would be interesting, wouldn't
Ooh.
It?
Okay. Because I'm like, she was too good for just like that one episode, that one whole
they
thing.
They do talk about at the end of the second episode, Grover says, he's like, you know, if she was dead, she would have just died. Her body would be there. But she turned into like the little ash stuff or whatever. Remember, there was no body left when the Minotaur took her. So it, you know, it's not like Voldemort where he just kind of floated off and turned into ash, which is still the worst ending. I will
didn't
forever
he turn
die
into
on that
like a
hill. It's
demon
awful.
baby or something?
You're just gonna have to see what happens with Miss Sally Jackson.
Oh my
But
God.
no, I think I can confidently say you have not seen the last of
Ooh.
Virginia Cole. I'm
Ooh.
not going to tell you how, but I can confidently say you have not seen the last of her.
Okay. All right. So the first episode, he kind of understands his fate. Second episode, he's thrust into this camp.
Yes.
And he gets all these enemies and he's starting to realize who his friends are. How different is that whole sequence? I think we spoke about this actually when I was talking to you about what I saw from Comic-Con, that the way in which he realizes that he can heal in the water is kind of different from the book, right?
I believe so. I don't think in the book it's like Annabeth pushing him into the water. I think he just happens upon it and then it's like, oh, like, you know, I can heal, and then Poseidon ends up claiming him. But the fact that it's like, no, they should have figured this out earlier. And Annabeth being, you know, the clever girl, he made toilets explode. He made water come out everywhere.
Yeah.
How would you not think that he's the son of Poseidon? Like that makes no. How could people not connect that? So no, I really loved the way in which he found out. I loved how you know, the agency they're giving Annabeth, and how she's, you know, she's stalking him because she wants to get on that quest. She wants to get going. She wants to live her life and prove that she is just as kind of like badass as all the guys are. I really enjoyed that change.
And then what other major changes did you find in that episode? If any.
Well, one thing was with Mr. D, Dionysus. He's the camp counselor.
Oh, Jason's love that
Yes.
guy.
So that whole thing where he's like, "I'm your dad," like that did not happen in the books. And he's a lot more lackadaisical. Basically, the reason why he's at Camp Half-Blood is because he did something to piss off Zeus, and Zeus was like, "Nope, you are going to be the camp counselor at Camp Half-Blood for 100 years. And you can't touch wine, you can't do any of that stuff." And so that's why he was trying to get Percy to get him wine, because demigods can do quests for gods, and they can do things that gods themselves can't do. They kind of use demigods as their little pawns, as their little, playthings, which will come in further down the series. You're really going to see the way the gods manipulate their children, and it's just awful. But in this one, he's a lot more involved. And, at the very end of it with Chiron and Grover, he was talking about, like, "You have to go on this quest. You have to do this." In the books, he did not care. He would be sitting there drinking his Diet Coke, talking to his little, he has a mounted leopard head on the wall. I believe his name is Seymour. He'll just be sitting there, like, talking to him and just not giving a crap what happens to anybody else in the world. So in
That's
this
pretty
one, it was
funny.
interesting to see him have a bit more involvement in the quests and in the camp itself.
Oh, that's exciting. I really got to read these books, man.
They're
It's a,
so good.
yeah, everybody.
I read them first in high school, and then I read them again about, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago. They still hold up. And they're
They're making
something that,
more, right? They
yes,
just announced
he just
another
released
trilogy.
another book. It's Percy is still 17 in it, which I would have loved to seen something that's set later on in the characters' lives. Especially because given the timeline of when the books are supposed to take place, certain characters would be certain ages now, and I'm like, I want to see what they would be like at this age.
And there's another book, and it's a part of it. It's the second in a new trilogy, right? That's coming out next year.
Is
There's
there?
a new book that was announced. It comes out in September, and I believe Rick he had an event after the launch of the last
Oh,
one.
he did, didn't he? Because it's
He said
that
it was like
new
a part of a new
trilogy.
trilogy.
Yes.
I don't know if it's all going to be about Percy Jackson, but I think there's going to be a third book after this next one.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's this guy's like he's giving
Oh,
Disney a
yeah, because it was the Chalice
franchise.
of the Gods, and the next one is Wrath of the Triple Goddess.
Yes. So it's
That
like
I haven't read Chalice of the Gods yet,
he's
but I
giving
need to get
Disney a
on that.
franchise in real time, which I can imagine they're probably very happy about. It's like giving me and she is the person who shall not be named, but
Oh,
just
yes.
kidding. Just kidding, rolling over here. Where she, you remember when the Harry Potter movies were coming out,
Yep.
and everybody was like, "Oh my God, how are they going to make the movies when the books aren't even out yet?" You know, it's kind of giving me that vibe. But okay, so we spoke about the second episode. What do you think about the capture the flag sequence? That whole.
That was so cool, honestly. And then, oh, just the way that it was like, Percy's got this. He'll know what to do when the time's coming. And it pans him just like flossing and then peeing in the wood and like petting that little lizard. I'm like, yep, that's my Percy. He's absolutely
Hilarious.
clueless and absolutely has no idea what he's doing, and he's just gonna goof around until he gets told what he needs to do. But that, and then that whole, sequence when he gets when he's at the water with Clarice, and he's fighting all those like three demigods at once, and he's holding his own. And that just goes to show too, when you're a child of the big three, Zeus, Hades,
It's
Poseidon, like you
natural,
have, it's
right?
a natural innate power. And yeah, he still kind of has to learn it and fine-tune it, but he's born with that. And I think that also goes to show how he has animosity with someone like Clarice, who's the daughter of Ares. That's the war god, so she's gonna be the toughest, the most badass person in camp. But she just can't help that her father isn't one of like the big ones. And you're gonna see people kind of get bothered with that Percy hasn't really done anything. He hasn't been at camp. This is his first year at camp, and he's already gonna be able to kick some butt. That's not gonna sit well with some people.
Yeah, I think that's that for me. I mean, not to say the show is like lags, but that to me is like when it had a major pickup. It's indefinitely like terms of action and I don't know, man. I'm really excited to pick it up. All right, where do you see it going? What do you pre how do you say? Do you see any major changes being made down the line from what you've already seen? Or do you think it's going to be a pretty faithful adaptation?
I think it's going to be a pretty faithful adaptation. I don't really see a need to have to change the source material very much. I think it's going to translate very well to screen. And I can already see little nuggets set up of certain characters and characteristics where it's like, oh man, you're foreshadowed. Like you mentioned this. This wouldn't even come up until like season three, should you get that far. They're already setting things in stone and setting things in place that I am super, super excited for. I really don't see them making much differences from the books. Just because, too, when you've already had an adaptation that was so vastly different from the source material and that upset so many people, when you're doing it again, you need to stick as closely as you can to the source material, which is also why, like, when they're, for example, they're doing the new Avatar, The Last Airbender series, that movie was so gosh darn awful. That they're like, okay, now we're going to be making the series. We have to be faithful to the source material, which is why the original creators left because they're like, we did this already. We don't need to do it again. So they're like, nah, we're out. But this time, Rick Riordan and team, they want to see something that's faithful. They want to see something that, those novels were, they're his life's work. That's what he's always going to be best known for. And I think he wants to see it accurately portrayed. And I see that that's what's going to happen with this. There's no way that they're going to start deviating or going too crazy against it. I mean, the only things I think that they'll change from the novels are things they've already done, as in certain physical character aspects. In the books, obviously, all children of Athena have blonde hair and gray eyes because that's how Athena looks. Obviously, Annabeth is not that way in the
Yeah.
novel or in the TV show, but also, who cares? She's still got the smug. She's still super smart. She's still super, sassy, and she's still gonna kick butt at the end of the day. So it doesn't matter what color her hair is or what color her eyes are. And that's the only part of the books that I think should be changed and is being changed.
Very well said. You get me excited about this show. Like, this is why I feel bad. You know what? When we get off of this, I'm ordering the graphic novels. That's it.
Finally.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I was gonna wait for the library, but I'm not gonna be a cheap ass. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna
They're
get into
worth
it.
it. They're seriously worth it.
Yeah,
These
one thing I heard
books.
was, sorry to cut you off, at
No.
Comic-Con, everybody was saying it, that the books are just so fun to read.
They are a super, super good
What does that
time. They're
mean? Like,
so they're told first person that this first series, the first five, is first person from Percy's point of view. And as you can see from the first couple episodes, he's a sassy little mofo. So you get his little internal dialogue, you get him. He's basically like the book starts with, look, I didn't want to be a half-blood. If you're reading this, blah blah blah. So it's kind of him dictate or like, telling his adventures to somebody else. So you get all of his fun little things, be like, oh yeah, and then this happened. Oh, but I remember thinking this in the moment. And it's so funny. He's got so much life and character to him, that it really makes for a pleasant reading experience because he's just so for someone who's being thrust into such fantastical situations, he's still so normal and so quippy. And Walker Scobell, 10 out of 10, perfect Percy Jackson. I think he was the only choice to portray this character, and he really is a little mini Ryan Reynolds. And
He
it's
is.
just hilarious.
I'm super excited to see what the future holds for that kid. He's like, I'm trying to think. I haven't been this excited for a kid actor in a minute. Oh, you know what? I don't know if you know Anjuri Rice.
No, I
She
don't.
she's playing the Lindsay Lohan character in the new Mean Girls.
Oh, yes.
She was
Yes,
in The
okay.
Nice Guys with
Yeah,
Ryan
yeah, 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 yeah,
Gosling.
yeah, yeah. Okay, yes.
Since I saw
Yes, she's
her in that
good.
movie and I was like, this girl's gonna be a star. I kind of feel the same way about him. And I felt that way since the movie he was in with Ryan Reynolds. I was like, this kid is gonna be like an absolute star.
Oh,
And this is
yeah.
before he was Percy Jackson. So obviously I was right. So very excited. Okay, final thoughts. Anything you want to say about the show? Anything you want to tease that you think that you think people should be excited for?
Ooh, okay. Well, eagle-eye fans of the book obviously know you need to keep your eyes open when we get to the Lotus Casino for some certain people that are going to be hanging out in there. And I'm just excited to eventually see Cerberus because I think he's the cutest little boy ever. And no, I'm just once and we're talking about the series picking up and doing more and more. Once they leave Camp Half-Blood, get ready because it's going to go lightning speed. And we are going to bounce around the United States in a way that is just so much fun. And I'm also excited to see too, to see if I can point, like, figure out where they use the volume and where they actually filmed, like live, in the forest or in the city or whatever.
You know, they used the volume inside of the museum, right?
Yes, I was talking with the creative team about that, and they were saying, they
That's something
actually
they're
used
very
the
proud of.
woods. Yes, honestly, I was like, you can't tell. You cannot
Yeah.
tell. It's amazing the way technology has advanced in the past few years. It's flawless. It really is.
The only thing I remember them talking about it at Comic-Con too is they said it looks fine, but when they, because it requires a bit of geometry and physics. To the point where, like, they have to account for space that isn't really there. So, like, they had to modify it. So, scale it. I think that's the word I'm using. They had to scale it to the actual actors. So, there were some things that were, like, closer to relativity than what they are in the actual museum. But you don't realize that. And you would never know that. So, very good stuff. Very good stuff. And all right, that's the last thing I want to talk to you about. Were there any nuggets that you got from your interview? I know it's on our YouTube channel now. Anything you think, obviously tease it. Don't just go out and say it, but like anything you were excited to talk to them about that you think people should tune in for.
I was really excited to talk to them about how, I mean, I'm familiar with their past works, and their past shows, Human Target, Jericho, but honestly, if you're a person who likes this type of family-friendly show, listen to them talking about how they created it and how you can so seamlessly make things for all ages, because there's such a big divide nowadays between, like, you watch a lot of new kids movies, man, they're dumb. You can't watch them as an adult. Then this is something that the whole family is going to be able to enjoy, and I think people need to understand why, and why we're that they're still able to create media that is able to be consumed by everyone, because that's kind of a failing part of the industry right now, and I think people need to listen and understand how they can make it successful. That's something for sure. I tried to get lots of teasers out of them for future episodes and for season two, but they wouldn't do that,
I
unfortunately.
tried the same thing at Comic-Con. We sat, I did a round table, and the first question I asked, I said, season two, that was
Yeah,
literally.
I was like, I know the writer's room for season two has started, and they're like, that's like, reading the next book before finishing this one. And I'm
Ooh,
like,
that was
that's
good.
cute. I was like, dang, you guys got me good.
Yeah, and oh my God, James Baldwin was a trip too. He's great. They
It's
were
a
not
bucket of
budging.
fun, guys. Go listen to the interview. You can tell that these people have such a love for the world that they are inhabiting and the world that they're helping bring to life, and such a respect for the source material. It was absolutely beautiful to see. And it really shows in the show how much they put time and effort and care into it.
Definitely, guys. And you can find it on our YouTube channel. Big things happening with YouTube 2023, 2024. Got a lot of exciting stuff I can't speak on right now, but just the Percy Jackson interview is just the tip of the iceberg. What else is gonna say? I don't remember if I wrote it up, but when also just a fun little tidbit that I'm pretty sure you probably didn't even know. The most expensive thing in the entire show, what do you think it was? Besides the actors' salaries and all that stuff, what do you think they spent the most money on? I spoke to the
Costuming?
close. So that's another thing. So there are two things. I think the costuming was the most tedious thing that they spent the most time on,
That makes sense, yeah.
because when I spoke to the lady at Comic-Con, she said they spent hours trying to get the right orange
Yeah,
for the
orange is
shirt.
not a great color, and it's really hard to match on different skin tones, so you have to find the right shade of orange that'll
Yes.
go on everybody and not look like day
And
glow.
it wasn't just that. I had to look right on the people. I had to look right for the
On
camera.
camera. Oh yeah.
So that was the she the female costume designer. She was saying how it took hours, and sometimes they would spend hours on one batch just to be like, nah, it's not gonna work. And throw it out and start all over. But the most expensive thing that they spent the money on for the show was his stepdad's car.
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And I think, I don't know if it was one or they had to get a couple because it's such an old and special. What type of car is it? Do you know?
I want to say some kind of a Camaro.
I was going to say Camaro, too. That's
I think
the
it's a Camaro. Mind,
but I could be wrong.
I think it's a Camaro.
It's an old car.
Yeah.
Just some fun knowledge for you guys. Just to give you an idea of like what really goes into the show and what really like just how hard they worked to bring this vision to life. Cause they could have swapped out the Camaro for anything else. They could have changed the color on the shirt to anything else, but they didn't. So that goes to show they want to
authenticity is key here.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Amber, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to sit down with me, talk about this. I'm excited to see where the show goes. I'm excited to see your excitement for it as it continues. It's been a
pleasure. Oh, it's just growing. It is growing. And I am bubbling with excitement to press play on the next episode soon.
Make sure you read Amber's reviews of the first two episodes and be sure to catch her reviews weekly. And then be sure to watch her interview as well on our YouTube channel. And we'll obviously continue to follow everything and anything Percy Jackson because it's part of Disney. So that's it. Anything else you want to plug before we go?
No, I'm just super excited to be back, you guys. And I hope you have a great rest of 2023. And let's get ready for this new year.
Yes. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye.